For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Okay. That's just not how we start these episodes.
No, for sure. For sure not.
Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are recapping season 6, episode 17 of Pretty Little Liars called...
Do you have it?
Well, if you know
it... We've all got baggage.
We've all got... Okay, wait, no. This is season 6, episode 18. Not 17, because
no, it's episode 17.
Okay, what's going on here? Because I just Googled PLL season 6, episode 17, and might I add, I did it with one hand very quick while I was trying to stall so that it would look like I just had it handy, and it says, "Where Somebody Waits for Me."
Well, that was the last episode that we did.
I know. And here it's saying that's episode 17.
But I'm
but
pretty
then,
sure this is 7.
No, you're right. You're right, because underneath it, Reddit says season 6, episode 17, we've all got baggage. So what's going on in the World Wide Web is my question. That's my freaking question.
Well, I'm glad that we didn't start doing this and realize that we both watched two different episodes.
Oh, my God. Well, I do want to let you know, Phoebe, that if I had rewatched the episode we recapped last week, I would figure that out pretty quick.
I mean, like, I'm glad that you or me didn't skip ahead. Like,
oh, yeah.
HBO Max didn't, like, skip an episode.
No.
What I mean.
Max.
I know that you probably would have watched an episode we already watched, and I would hope you wouldn't sit there being like,
okay,
this is
crazy.
Is really
me taking copious notes on the episode that we literally recapped in depth last week.
Man,
this wouldn't happen. Okay, well, I'm going to get into the recap and we'll dive right into this ep. So, we found out why Sarah Shower Harvey is staying in that room in the Radley. It's because it used to be Charlotte's room when Charlotte was at Radley. And Spencer and Arya, Team Sparia, have their little moment where they sneak in. And they find this massive hole in the fucking closet that leads down to the abandoned Radley basement that I guess nobody ever realized existed. Lieutenant Butterscotch is back in town and we should all be scared. She said there was a call from Two Crows, which is a restaurant, to the De Laurentiis dungeon, but Allie says nobody heard it. She and Dr. Rollins were there the entire night. Nobody heard it, but that's a little suspicious because LB says that phone call was picked up and it was a 3-minute phone call. Ella and Byron are back together. This was like their big secret, and it turns out that's what Ezra was doing the night that Cece was killed. He saw them and they were like, you can't tell anyone. And so instead, he just looked like he was a murderer, which Arya freaking loved. She was like, of course he would murder for me. That is just so like him. And any guy who's romantically interested in me, they would do anything to keep me safe. So they're going to be getting married. Ella and Byron, not Arya and Ezra. Anyway, Hannah and Jordan are struggling a little bit. She lost her job and she's biting his freaking head off every chance she gets. I can tell she's not thrilled with Spaylib either. Can't blame her. The murder weapon in Cece's death has been identified. It was actually not a golf club. It was a hollow piece of metal that was cut with a rectangle at the end. And bad news for Mel Hastings, we actually found in her suitcase that the handle has that exact shape and hers is broken and one of them is missing. So we think she might have been the person to kill Cece. Vivi is sick and Spencer now knows about it because there was this bizarre thing with Mona and Yvonne's phone and yada, yada, yada. But basically, Vivi is cancer. She didn't want anybody to know because she thought it would make her weak in this election. But Spencer is aware. Liam, Arya's boyfriend, comes to Rosewood. He's got to figure out what is going on with Ezra's book. And what he actually finds out is that it's not Ezra's book. It's Arya's book. Arya has been writing it. The jig is up. But he does not know that she and Ezra were ever together. And that, I think, is everything that we absolutely must know to head into this episode.
Well, we start at the Radley and we walk into Sarah's room and it's a very different scene than what we saw the first time we walked into Sarah's room.
The first time we were in there, it was like immaculate and they were kind of confused because we know housekeeping hasn't been in here. This time it looks like a room that has not been touched by housekeeping since Sarah checked in.
Yeah. And it's Emily, Allie, and Hannah. And Allie is killing me because she is acting like Emily has just made all of this
I know
up. Like the fact that the room was clean, the fact that there was ever a hole in the wall. Allie's like, I'm not saying I don't believe you, but like,
Allie's like, you have got to admit this is a little bit different than what you told me. Okay, you did tell me there was a massive hole in the wall, and I'm looking at perfect drywall, so I'm just, you Hannah, help me out here. You'll have to excuse me if I'm a little, and I know I don't want to bring it up, I know you're all hormoned up, okay, I know that about you, so I was there. And if your mind went a little haywire, that would be understandable. But yeah, she just is not getting it. I also like how Allie's acting like she's been here the whole time. She has been, and with the girls, like Aria, like later on at the end of the episode, I won't jump there now, but it's just like, Allie, you have been MIA.
I would be, well, also the girls haven't been including her. So if I'm Allie and suddenly they're like including me, I'm probably a little bit like, you know what? No, this time I'm doing it my way and I'm talking to the police. I'm not doing whatever the fuck you guys have going on.
Well, and the question is,
but this episode, finally, Allie is included. Not by necessarily the girls, but by their harasser.
Yes, exactly.
So now she's suddenly like, oh, wait.
So
okay, I remember what a rush this used to give me.
Yeah, wait, this is kind of fun. And Emily's like, fun? Anyway, so yeah, the room is trash. There is no hole. And the housekeeper comes in. So I guess now Sarah's allowing housekeeping. And all the girls run into the closet to hide.
Well, Sarah's gone. That's why they're coming in here now. Not that stopped them before,
right,
but
right.
Sarah, at the end of last episode, we hear that Sarah, like, got into, like, a not an altercation, but, like,
wouldn't put it past her.
There was, like, yelling that got her thrown out.
Oh, right,
something.
With Ashley Merritt. Yeah.
Well, that didn't get her thrown out later, because Hannah's very, she's like, my mom did not throw her out, and... But yeah, so Sarah has been thrown out of the hotel. And I'm like, because they make a comment. They're like, did they have to drag her out of here?
Well, it looks like she was in the middle of eating coleslaw.
And Emily says, I guess this is what the inside of Sarah's brain looks like.
I guess.
So Emily, any chance Emily gets to throw a stray at Sarah Harvey, she's going to take it. She hates her more than she's ever hated anybody.
And who can blame her, honestly? So this housekeeper comes in, they're hiding in the closet, and Hannah's like watching and they're trying to find their moment to get out of here while Emily's literally trying to break down the closet wall. She's like, no, I'm telling you, there's a hole here. And it's actually giving me, as a little girl in kindergarten, when I fully believed that all our teachers lived in the school, and I was like, girls, let's go find your bedroom. And I took a bunch of girls into the bathroom of Lincoln Elementary School. Have I not ever told this story on the pod? And we brought in tools. This is what we had available, colored pencils. Those were our tools. And we go in, and you know how, like, in the bathroom stalls, like, on the wall, there might be, like, a big metal, you know, thing screwed into the wall to, like, keep the pipes in there, and that's where people would access. I was like, and this is her bedroom door. So we all took these colored pencils and tried to use them as screwdrivers in the screws. You might remember, be like, Caroline, why do you remember this so well? Oh, it's because I got my ass handed to me. It's because I got in so much trouble that I literally was like, I can never come back to school.
By our parents or by the school?
No, by my teacher, by my kindergarten teacher. She was like, what are you doing?
She was like, you can't go,
you can't
in, my
go in my room. And I was like, I'm just showing them your house. Like, I don't know what I said, but she was like, I don't live here. She was like, stop it. She had it that day. I remember that, like, what I was doing with these girls in the bathroom. And also, like, when did I have the time to do this? Was this like, what, like, you know what?
And how did the teacher,
no, you know what? No, Phoebe, you were on the same page. I was about to do the same thing. How did she let me out of there? I was going in and out of that room getting my tools and my girls. Getting my tools and getting my girls and saying, we're going to crack this.
And it's like that quote from Euphoria. Caroline knew who she was from a
very,
very
young age. Exactly. And so that's sort of the vibe that Emily's bringing to this closet. I'm like, Emily, you're going to be arrested.
Yeah, because there's purely nothing there.
There's no seam.
There's no, like, fresh paint or drywall or anything. And then they find their moment and they go out.
Which I would have to argue. It's not really a moment.
They don't sneak.
There's no sneaking.
No, it's not.
I would have just waited.
And then they slam the door.
Yeah.
As loud, and so our little diva comes out from behind the somewhere
okay,
else.
Okay, our
room.
New A name is not Skin because that's reserved for original sin. It's this little diva. Our little diva. That's who the new A is, little diva.
Because she's like, diva. This Scooby-Doo villain is looking a lot more chic than
this,
our original
this
Scooby-Doo
villain had me freaking fooled for a second. This Scooby-Doo villain comes out. I was like, that's just the housekeeper doing her job. Like, she didn't ask for this. Oh, yeah, she did. Then she takes off her glasses and her skin mask and puts it down. And that's when we said this diva. This diva. Yes. So Spencer and Caleb are in the barn. And the file that contained all of Vivi's medical information has been corrupted. Caleb did it, despite knowing that it could potentially get him in trouble. But he says it cannot be traced back to him. And then he's like, you know what, Spence? You need protein. You need protein. I'm going to make you breakfast. And fingernails don't count as protein. And I guess she was chewing her fingernails and his all night long in bed. And then they have a steamy makeout. I'm like, sorry, that's not turning me on. Sorry, Caleb. That's not exactly getting me going.
And Emily is the queen of this moment because
she really
they
is.
They are making out, and Emily, it's like, Emily, you could start knocking.
Emily, we gotta start knocking. Actually, this isn't even
also
your
I
home.
Was like,
this isn't even the place. You're
I was
staying.
Like, I was like, Spencer, were you expecting Emily? And then we realized no, she wasn't, because Emily's barged in here because she needs to get back down there.
Yeah,
and she's like, Spence, I need you to help me get back down there. The hole is sealed off.
It's expensive. You Spencer's used to like, love egg hunts. What happened? Come on. We need to go down there and look for the eggs.
Spencer's like, I fell in love.
That's what happened. Okay. I'm different now. I'm in love. I'm kind of in my honeymoon phase. So Spencer and Caleb kind of share a little look, and Emily's like, what's that? What's that look? What? She's like, I saw that. And they're like, okay, Mel's suitcase is broken. And they explain that maybe Mel is implicated in this murder now.
And Emily immediately is like, okay, Melissa did it.
Emily's
okay,
like, hey, and we've absolutely been saying this, by the way. Hey, Spence, we've been saying this for years that there was something off about Mel, and you've said she's off limits. All bets are off. Okay. Things are different
and
now.
Spencer's like, okay, does that mean that your mom is a suspect now? And Emily is like, no.
Emily's
because her suitcase isn't broken with something that looks like the murder weapon.
And my mom doesn't have a history of violence. And Mel, sorry, does. Like, your family, Spencer, has a history of doing crazy shit like
my
this.
My mom didn't record a video of her confessing to a murder that she may or may not have committed, but like was erring on the side of I probably did.
Yeah, and then fled the country.
She didn't film herself doing that.
Hey, that didn't happen, Spence. Jeez, oh man. So anyway, Spencer is fully defending Melissa, and I do kind of love that the Hastings sisters, they hate each other. I mean, they're at each other's throats almost at all times, but don't you dare try to come for one of them to the other. They're like, excuse me? And Emily's like, oh, sorry, I thought it was cool to talk shit to Melissa, considering you literally fucking hate her. You talk about her all the time. And it's
sister's like, what?
I like, love Melissa. Sisterhood is so important to me. Have you ever seen Little Women? No, I bet you haven't. You don't have
they
any sisters,
do
so you don't get
give,
it.
They kind of give Joe and Amy.
Oh my God, you're right. They do. Wait, that's so funny. But who's who?
Not really in person. Well, that's the thing. That's hard. I'm immediately saying Spencer is Amy in the situation only because of the young Amy is Spencer, because Spencer would burn the pages.
Yeah, but I'm like low-key. You know what? No, I don't think Melissa
Spencer
would.
Spencer is Joe.
Yes. Yes. Spencer is different.
And like Spencer, like I can see Spencer like having a Laurie who is in love with her entire life and being like, no, I'm not interested.
No. Yeah.
And then she like wakes up one day and she's like, wait, maybe I do want that. But Amy has wanted like a conventional life the entire time.
Yes.
But I guess Amy going for Laurie is
very Spencer coded.
Spencer going for Ren or Ian.
I'm like, Melissa all her life just wanted to be Meg. Like, she was like, please God, can I just be Meg? And they were like, no.
No.
You're like, unfortunately, no, you're not a Meg. You are whatever.
And
these
it was
crazy
never
ones
in
are.
The cards. It was never in the cards for the Hastings to have a Beth. Never ever.
Just
that was never
just
gonna
never. But you know who kind of did? The De Laurentiis family.
Who's Beth?
Oh
them?
Wait, never mind. I was sort of going in a
Charlotte.
That is kind of
kind of. Have you seen the movie? I guess, I mean, okay, wait. I'll give you
okay,
a little bit
walk
of credit.
With
I
me
think
here.
Allie
walk
might
with
say
me
that.
Here.
Allie might say Charlotte.
This is what, in this moment, the way we are talking about Cece is as though yeah. she is Beth Mark.
Like, she's so, like, she was just this
come
sweet,
soon.
Like,
yeah, like, yeah. She didn't ask for any of this. It's like, she did. It's like, she did. But that's.
If she hadn't done a lot of what she did.
That's where I was going with this, but I do see that.
But it is insane to say out loud that Charlotte would be the best.
Yeah. Now that I've said it out loud, I totally see that. So,
and now we've said it.
And now we've said
we
it.
We go to the lobby of the Radley, and Arya and Liam are discussing what their plan of attack is going to be with this little situation that Arya's gotten them into.
Liam's like, so is this typical for you? Like making horrible decisions and then involving everyone in your life and like implicating everyone in these horrible lies that could get us all fired.
She's like pretty much,
it's
yeah.
kind of my thing. Yeah. it's kind of my whole thing. So she doesn't know how to tell Ezra, and Liam's like, well, you're gonna have to explain to him that like Jillian's already read all these chapters and really likes them and they weren't written by him. And now that he's doing this, and she's like, I can't tell him. He needs my feedback. He cares about my opinion, okay? She can't get past the idea that, like, she's his editor or something.
Arya's like, how can I convince him that he wrote these pages?
Yeah.
How can I be like, hey, I here are my revisions, and just
hand back her copy. Wait, that's so funny.
Like, they're really good.
Literally.
I thought that your voice is really, really interesting here. But Liam makes the mistake, and I don't know if it's really the mistake, because Arya's not feeding into it the way that I would expect her to. But he's like, you should just tell Jillian because she loved them. She'll probably give you a book deal. And later on, when she's talking to Ezra about all of this, and he's like, how much did she like them? And she immediately is like,
I'd say like a 1,000 out of 10.
I mean, like a 9?
She's like, so Ezra.
She said a 9 only because she didn't want to say 10. She didn't want to give herself a 10.
Literally.
But she's like, I mean, okay, it is. She would say 10, but I don't want to say 10.
I don't want to say that because, you know, I don't want to look cocky. So probably like a 9.95. Probably like a 9.95. Anyway, Liam still doesn't know about Ezra and Arya. So he's like, you know what? He is so lucky. Ezra is so lucky that someone who once sat in the back of his classroom wants to save his reputation. Because he's like, dude, what do you owe Ezra? Like, Ezra was pouring rum in his cornflakes a few weeks ago, and then he left and, like, left you in the lurch.
He's like,
why
you're
his hero. Like, yeah, he should be kissing the ground you walk on. She's like, no, he is. That's the problem. He's been doing that since I was his student. And
I understand Arya's, like, want to not have. And I wish we had a better timeline on how long Liam and her have been dating.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any clue.
She's like, it's new.
It seems like, but like, at first it seemed like they've been together for a long time. But as we're like uncovering more and more, I'm like, wait, maybe this is like a couple months old.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you guys have been together. It's not like Jordan and Hannah.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, how are you keeping this from someone for so long that you dated? Not even like, you didn't. I don't even know how much about the teaching stuff that you have to divulge initially.
Right.
Like, but the, like, this, your high school ex, like your primary person that you were in love with for so long, your boyfriend has no idea
yeah.
about anything about that. That feels like a conversation most relationships would have.
It does. And it also seems like, I get that there's this added ripple where like Ezra
right.
works for, you know, he's contracted by their company. But by the same token, he never knew it had to be him. Like, he could have just known there was
yeah.
someone here. Like, I do think it's crazy, especially if Arya is going to be claimed to be, like, healing and all these things. Like, it just doesn't, it seems very, like, high school Arya to weave this web of, like, untruths. You know what I mean? I don't even know that she was outwardly lying to Liam by not telling him. But it's, like, what stories did she have to tell him to cover, to, like, seem like there was
yeah.
stuff going on in high school? Because it's like,
because
I'm
like,
sure they've talked about high school.
I mean,
so what has she told him if she hasn't included
and
the
I
fact
wonder,
that, like, because that was her high school basically.
And I wonder how much of the other stuff he knows.
That's yeah.
And it's because, oh wait, because she did ask Hannah that one time, I feel like,
yeah,
when did you like tell Jordan everything? And I'm just like, if he knows everything else that was happening, isn't there a part of him who's like, well, wasn't there someone like Hannah had Caleb,
right,
and Spencer had Toby, and Emily had whoever it was.
I bet Arya just says it was Noel Kahn, honestly. That's what I would do. If I had to do that, I would literally just be like, and Noel Kahn was my boyfriend for that whole time. To avoid. But I'm also like, well, I guess, okay, so here's the question. Did Liam and Aria meet at work, or were they dating? Like, did he help her get the job? You know what I mean? Because
I feel like they met at work.
Okay.
Just because of the little glimpse that we've gotten of them at work.
Yeah.
It kind of seemed like they, I don't know. I mean, I guess it could have been that he got her the job, but it gave the idea that they met, like they were maybe working next to each other, and yeah, then it turned into like a relationship, and then
that's why people now they can't have to know. Keep it a secret. Yeah. But it, in my mind, I'm like, if they had met before, or even if they had met just before Z was writing a book for this publisher, like, why wouldn't you just tell him? You know what I mean? If you're healed, if you're like, this is my past, I'm traumatized from all of these things, but like, not for nothing, I was in a relationship with my teacher and that really fucked me up too. Like, if she was actually sort of in a place where I think she's claiming to be, I think she would have been in a place where Liam would know this and she wouldn't feel like...
I wonder if also, like, maybe, and this goes back to the fact that he's working there, or that he's his publisher is, Ezra's publisher is where Aria works, but like, she doesn't, it would be one thing to say I was in a relationship with my teacher and it fucked me up really badly, but like, she's not treating a relationship with Ezra like that's exactly the truth. So it's like, it that would be another thing to have to explain, like, I'm dealing with how that, what that did to me, but still, like, Ezra and I are cool.
That's why I think, and, like, she's not there. Like, I think she's claiming to be this, like, healed version of Aria, but she's not, because if she actually was, she'd be able to talk about it, because it wouldn't be like,
yeah.
But the fact that she won't talk about it, it gives also the idea that she's like, maybe we'll reconnect. You know what I mean? Like, she wants to leave the door open.
It's definitely giving
which
that
also
idea.
Tells me she's not healed, which also is fine. You don't have to be healed from this, like, at all. But just like, you're not, so stop saying you are. So Hannah is trying to help Ella Montgomery find something to wear her for her wedding. I'm like, this seems like an Aria job. This seems like something your daughter would do for you, but okay.
I think Aria was a little bit like, mom?
You're really going to do a wedding?
You're really going to wear a dress?
You're really going to wear a dress?
But of course, we get Aria is Ella's daughter, because we find out a little bit about their first wedding.
Oh my God.
Because Hannah's like, do you want to wear white, or do you want to go like a little, I think she says, do you want to be a little like less traditional or something? Because that's what Ella says. Ella says, well, I kind of want to feel like a bride this time.
She literally is talking about their marriage, their first wedding. And she goes, we were very determined not to be traditional. And I'm like, and that is a tattoo Aria has on her body. Like, she is if not determined
not to be traditional.
Exactly. And so Ella also describes her and Byron as, quote, two cynical college kids with no money and a skewed sense of what was romantic. And yes, Phoebe, as you said, Aria is absolutely Ella's daughter. Like, that is how Aria is going to describe herself in 20 years if she develops any self-awareness. Yes.
She explains that they like rented a barn and they all dressed as farmhands or whatever, and they like made their mom sit on a keg, and Hannah's trying to like act like she loves it, and she's like, oh, I love a theme party. And Ella goes, it wasn't a theme.
And Hannah's like, oh, silly me, why would I think that? I need to tell this because I can't say it on the Tuesday episode because there's a chance this person is going to listen to that episode, but I know they don't listen to these ones. And I just have to tell you that I heard yesterday, I can't get too many details because it'll give this away, but I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were telling me about the bridal shower that they're planning for their sister. And good news, it's a surprise. The sister knows that the bridal shower is happening, but isn't aware about anything that like any of the decor, any of, dare I say, the theme elements, none of that. She doesn't know any of it. Guess what the theme is?
I have no idea.
Give me one guess.
Farmhand.
Phoebe, you sound insane. No. Harry Potter. And I'm like, here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with having a Harry Potter themed bridal shower. If that's what you in your heart want. But the fact that it's a surprise worries me. Because I'm like, well, does your sister want a Harry Potter themed bridal shower? Because if she doesn't, and she walks in and like you're wearing a cloak, like they're not doing costumes, they're dressing normal.
And also, like, Oh, I was going to say, like, is everybody going to be dressed up?
They're dressed
normal.
And
you're not going to have, like, a costume for
but
her.
But it's also,
like, she's going to be, like, in a cute, like, bridal shower dress. And everybody, they're going to be like, okay, here's a Dobby costume.
Here, the guest of honor gets to wear the Dobby skin suit. No, none of them are wearing costumes. They're just, like, it sounded tasteful the way it was described to me. But, like, there's no doubt about it. It's Harry Potter themed. And so I'm like,
sometimes with things like that, it's like, is Harry Potter that person's favorite thing or your favorite?
Well, and the other thing is, it's not the person who's planning. It's not her favorite thing. She's never even read the books. She's like only seen the movies. Like, she's like, my sister likes Harry Potter, but I didn't get the vibe that her sister's like a Potterhead. Like, I didn't even get the vibe that like, Phoebe, what if I was planning your bridal shower for you? And I was like, it's a surprise. And you got there and it was like Lord of the Rings themed.
Or honestly, even for me, imagine if it was Harry Potter. Yeah. You'd be like,
it's Pretty Little Liars themed.
I mean, I love the movies. I read the books. Caroline doesn't believe I've read the books. I've read the books.
Wait, I've never said that.
And I'm like,
I just don't think you've
said it my entire life.
You probably just haven't read them thoroughly.
What? You know what book I didn't read thoroughly? The fucking fifth one. That book, I mean, granted, I was in fourth grade, but that book took me probably a year to read.
That's embarrassing. I can't believe you admit that right now, right here, right now.
I stand by it. The last 30 pages are like exciting for a fourth grader.
Right.
The rest of it is like
for a fourth grader,
exposition.
I guess if you're a fourth grader, maybe Harry Potter is entertaining. If you're anywhere older, if
What's
you're
this
reading
love story, who cares?
Well, that was the one thing. She was like, we're doing like the always thing. Like, is there like an always? Like, she like didn't really know. She was like, is there like an always thing in the book? I was like, yeah, like that's cute. But then she told me that on the cake, they're doing like Quidditch like goals and stuff. Like, but like, it's cute. The favors are little Ferrero Rochers with like wings. So it's like the golden snitch.
Cute.
But it was reading to me like a Harry Potter themed party, maybe not a bridal shower. What if the gifts come and they're like Harry Potter themed? Like, the bride doesn't know. I'm sorry. That's so funny. And she tells me, and I was like, oh my God, cute. And then she's like, oh, thank you. Because I keep telling people and they're like, ugh. And I was like, who would react like that when someone tells them I'm planning a Harry Potter themed bridal shower? In what world do you react like, ugh, even if that's what you think? Be fucking nice. Oh my God. So anyway, okay, back to Hannah and Ella. So Hannah like is really into planning Ella's wedding and not hers at all. And Ella's clocking that and it's kind of like, what about your dress? Like, your fiance's calling you. Should you answer it? And Hannah's like, enough about me, Ella. She just is not interested in talking about her nuptials.
We go to a familiar hallowed hall of Rosewood High School. And Emily's here signing up for classes. And guess who else is here? Damien from Hollis, who interviewed Spencer and Melissa.
Is she here signing up for classes at Rosewood?
No, I think they would be like, I feel like it, like for us, I feel like CCAC probably might have like sign ups at like local high schools. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As like a magnet. But they're going to like go to this lecture to try to like score points with the professor
or something.
And I'm like, this is weird.
This is giving one of those moments where in high school when like everyone didn't know that Emily was gay, but Emily knew she was gay and like guys would ask her out on dates and stuff and she'd be like, sure. And like to everyone else, she was like, what's the big deal? Like, we're just hanging out. And it's like, no, they're like want to do you. Like, they want to do you. And I can't believe you don't know that. Like, it's just kind of funny. She's just like, oh yeah, we're just grabbing dinner.
It's a little bit like an Emily.
You look like you look.
Do know
like, yeah, that's the other thing. But I'm like, you look the way you look. So I honestly wouldn't be giving these men an inch. Like, I wouldn't be like, why are we swapping a coffee for dinner? That's way more time with him, you know? I understand why, but, like, he's going to fall in love with you, Shay. What are you thinking?
Shay?
Shay, he's going to
Shay,
fall
in
thinking? Love with you.
Shay, why are you going off script?
Shay,
why
what
are you
going
off script?
Thinking? Shay, what are you thinking? So, anyway, yeah, they're going to go to some talk
we
tonight.
We go to the Hastings Castle, and Spencer and Melissa are meeting. They're reuniting. She's back.
Yeah.
Again. Where does she keep fucking going?
I don't know.
She is like in and out, in and out, in and out.
She's on the campaign trail. That's what I know. She is. She is freaking working the campaign trail. She comes in.
The great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Yes. She comes. It is a big state. She comes in with a new suitcase and they have kind of a moment discussing that her old one got broken. She tossed it and Vivi walks in the room and is stressed out.
This is going on a mug. This is going on a mug in our store. Spencer says, how's your morning been? Are you having a good morning? And Vivi goes, it was a good morning until I opened my eyes.
Mood as fuck, Vivi. And that's why we love Vivi. She's the girl boss of our dreams. I was like, what is Phoebe about to say? What quote from this scene is Phoebe about to say is going to be on a mug in our store? Could it be the quote, you should have told us that the cancer came back? I was like, literally, what could you be talking about?
Well, for sure, no. For sure, not that. But Spencer does barrel right into it.
I'm like, your mom.
I'm a little bit like, Spence, you also told Caleb you weren't doing this earlier. Mm-hmm. So, like, now you've, like, completely fucked up your...
So, now you're a liar.
You could have foreseen what happens later, but you've... Like, this has botched your credibility.
Yes. And also, I'm sorry, but Phoebe, let's just role play for a second. I'm mom. I'm walking in the house. I just went grocery shopping. Nobody was outside waiting to help me bring the groceries in, even though I sent a text saying I'm going to be home in 3 minutes. You're sitting. Okay, try to stay with me and don't freak out and black out of stress. You're sitting on the couch watching TV. Okay. And you were supposed to take the chicken out of the freezer. You didn't. Okay, that's the mood mom's walking in the house with. You want to go to a concert that night. Are you asking?
No.
You have something you want to confront mom about. You doing it then?
No.
So Spencer, when your mom walks in the room and in no uncertain terms tells you
and
she's having a bad morning.
She's in a bad mood.
This isn't the time to say, hey, by the way, I know you've got cancer. Why didn't you tell us? Oh my God, Spencer.
And also like, it would be one thing if you, like, overheard a conversation that she and Peter were having or something. But you have no clear explanation for how you know that she has cancer.
No.
So, like, you really, Spencer, this is unlike you to have not thought a couple steps
Maybe
ahead.
Maybe it's just her blind spot is her family. Her family is her freaking blind spot. But Vivi is not really concerned. She's like, look, I have a clean bill of health. I don't know what you're so stressed about. Like, if I need to say something,
I
will.
The doctor said that she could run.
It's, like, really not a big deal. So Spencer's like, I remind you, you are running on a platform based on transparency and integrity. And what's this, a lie? And Vivi's like, yeah, it's kind of our whole thing, Spence. All right. The lies in our house, run of the mill. Okay. Anywho, she's then reminded why she had kids, Vivi. She says, you get the chance to make people better than yourself. And I'm like, girl,
which is
who,
like,
are you talking about?
This preemptively stings considering what Vivi's going to think Spencer did later on.
Oh my God, literally.
We go to Allie's house and Rollins is like cleaning in the kitchen and Allie's sitting on the couch and she gets a text. She's like, finally,
someone
finally
texted me.
Remembered my number. Yeah. A remembered my number finally. Does the good doctor know why Charlotte ran out of your picture of a house night?
Emoji.
Question mark. And then, so that text comes first. And then we get a second message that says, I do, with the really photorealistic picture of the devil.
Yeah. So that's.
What emoji keyboard is A rocking with?
I'm
I know
saying.
We talk about it every episode, but I'm like, emojis don't look like this.
We need to make our own emoji keyboard that's just these emojis.
Yes, but we'll be new stickers.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of a cute idea. All right, you're on it. Okay, so Aria and Byron are eating together. And Byron, by the way, why is he actually eating and chewing in the mic? Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that.
Well, okay, then
but
you're
what
fake.
I will say is I saw some of the best eating acting ever. I saw Opus yesterday.
I literally thought you meant in this scene. I was like,
oh, no.
I was actually
I noticed it in a way where it didn't necessarily bother me, but I was impressed by how real this, like, meal situation looked between these two characters.
Wow.
I was like,
sometimes
yeah,
I do enjoy
the movie,
in a movie.
Lackluster.
Really?
Lackluster for me.
Well, you heard it here first. So Byron and Ella want Aria to officiate their wedding, and Aria is so rude away. I expected her to be like, jump for joy, be thrilled. Like, of course you want me to write and speak for your wedding. Like, of course you do.
No, but Aria, of course, immediately in her head is like, I'm going to completely steal the show.
Yeah, literally. She's like,
if I'm up there reading words that I've written, like, the day's not going to be about
no,
you anymore, Dad.
I can't steal this day from you two. Okay, I did enough to your first marriage, right? I spilled the beans. So I can't do this on this one. I really can't. I know I'm the writer. I was gifted. And that's why I can't. Like, it's just so, she's like, Dad, you do not want me to do that. like,
I know, it's like very unlike Arya the way she says it. You do not
want me to do that.
I'm like, Arya, what are you gonna do?
Well, I was like, wondering if she's saying that because she's like, look, if I'm involved, then like A is gonna sabotage your wedding. Like, I didn't know if that's sort of where she was going, but I don't know. We don't really learn any more about that. But we do know that Mike is not gonna come to the wedding because he's not really happy. And Byron thinks that Mike has never forgiven Byron for why they broke up. And at that moment, Arya agrees to officiate. She's like, oh, well, a chance to be the favorite child. Okay, I'm in. Okay, on second thought, I'm so in. And in her wedding like speech, she's like, and our family of three is back together. And they're like, four? She's like, three. Our family of three. If you're not here, you're not family. Okay, did you see Spencer with her Gucci bag? I was like, okay, bitch, I love it.
No, I didn't.
Oh my god,
that.
She's got a massive, gorgeous Gucci bag, and it's like the first time I've seen something like that,
like
in this
name
show.
Brand like that.
Yeah,
they're walking out of the gates of the castle, and Spencer's telling Caleb that Allie got a text, and then she goes, "What is Melissa doing in her car? Just sitting in the car out here." God, she is so annoying, Caleb. And Caleb's like, yeah, she is kind of annoying. And Spencer's like, what?
Yeah, Spencer's like, shut up. Oh my god, she's right there. She can probably hear you.
She probably just wants to take a call.
Maybe she's going somewhere. Oh my god, Caleb. Jeez. So Melissa comes out of the car and she's like, great news. Polls show a 12% increase. Guess I'm doing my job. And Caleb's like, how'd you break your suitcase? Melissa's like, oh my god.
Like, this is the most uncouth couple we've ever seen in our whole, because I think it's because they enable each other. They like enable each other in a way where like they can't see, they are like trying to get the job done over and over again, so they can't see that there's like a, they need to be a little bit more inconspicuous.
That's what we were saying, yeah, last episode, that like,
yeah,
the two of them together, crate time's not even in the equation. Like, we've forgotten about crate time now, and that's why these two need some time apart.
Hormone harmony. Road warriors, let's get real. Managing PMS can be difficult. When I get on to record the podcast with Caroline, it can be tough sometimes to lock into a cheerful mood. But good news, with the help of Hormone Harmony, I am able to manage my PMS and so much more. It helps me balance my moods and even improves my sleep quality. Hormone Harmony is dedicated to making women's lives better. One of the ways they achieve this is through science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. These help your body adapt to stressors. Hormone Harmony is third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten and dairy-free. It's no wonder to me a new bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. If you can even believe it, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Pretty Little Podcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Pretty Little Podcast for 15% off today.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
It's not the only reason.
Imagine our mom is running for state senate.
No.
And you and me have to work the campaigns. Like, we are active in the campaign.
Do you know how quickly our podcast would get mom's campaign trail completely like dismantled and just thrown out?
But I just mean in terms of like the way Melissa gets out of her car and she's like, the way she so smugly says 12% increase in the polls. Guess I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
Sorry. I guess that's what happens when you don't have an in-house fuck button.
Yeah. I guess that's what happens when you're not distracted all the time by the smell of sex, Spencer. She explains that her suitcase broke last time because she had some, quote, idiot driver who, like, took a shortcut to avoid baseball traffic and hit a bunch of potholes and broke her suitcase. And as she leaves, Spencer and Caleb, again, mine's working overtime with the lack of crate time. Caleb's like, there was no Philly game. It was an away game. It would have been in Baltimore. There would have been no traffic. She's lying. Okay. Didn't know you were such a baseball fan.
To that I say, I don't peg Melissa for a baseball fan. So if I'm driving through Philly and I hit traffic in the middle of the daytime, I might be like, maybe there's
baseball.
That's
a good point. Yeah, she's like, it's something I'm not interested in, something I don't know about. Must be that. Like, yeah, that does honestly make sense. But not for Spaleb. They don't have the like reasonable what if bone in their body at this time.
No. Ooh, crazy. We go to Ezra's loft and cat's out of the bag. Yeah, you guys have a tornado watch, by the way.
I know. I was going to bring it up, but I didn't want to get you all riled up.
It's okay. I had one yesterday. You're not special.
Believe me. I really, sorry, I didn't want to bring it up because I didn't want to act like I'm trying to like infringe on your territory. No, tornadoes are like your thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But you guys have the ingredients.
We may watch have out. The ingredients the to make the summer sweet. Coming instead of riches and all these dirty dishes. Just wish I had three wishes.
So Aria has told you know Ezra what she did. It sounds like, is it from Cheetah Girls?
We got to work this out.
Oh, High School Musical 2.
Yeah.
I knew it was Disney. The unmistakable sound of a Disney pop song.
Right.
And Ezra's like, okay, so you, okay, awesome. And you submit, and Jillian read them for sure. That's great. What did Jillian think? Like, what do you think she'd rate?
Aria's like, she loved them. Like, I mean, she's like, I don't remember.
I mean, like a 9? Okay, maybe an 8? Okay, 7.5?
Like, what do you want me to say?
What number's low enough?
And he's like, look, I know you're just trying to protect me. And she goes, I can't really tell if you want to hug me or punch me. And he says, no.
I can never punch you.
Yeah, I can never punch a girl, Aria. But she's like, he says, this wasn't a career move. This was an act of love. Like, you did this because you love me. And we can submit all of it. I want to see what you wrote. Like, show me what you wrote. So I guess he's going to read it. So Hannah brings the dress to Ella.
And he specifically tells her that she doesn't have to tell Jillian. Which I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that is a whoa moment. It is a okay moment.
It's kind of like Ezra's glad he doesn't have to write the rest of the book if Aria's willing to do
He's like, wait, I can kind of go back on my binge drinking thing if you do this.
If you've got this covered.
Okay, sweet. Okay, work. It's under my name. Okay, work. I'm cool.
I'm actually cool with this. Whatever you write is great.
Yeah, I don't care. I literally don't care. So anyway, Hannah brings a dress to Ella. She's going to hem it for her. Hannah's just so sweet. I am kind of surprised by it being a black dress. Like, I know that we're not doing...
I know, especially because of the conversation we had earlier where she did say that she wanted to feel more like a bride and something a little more elegant. And then Ella even asks to see things Hannah has... Like, she was like, I want to see things that you've thought of for your dress. And
Hannah's like,
I know Hannah...
No.
She says she hasn't thought about it, but I feel like... Hannah also could have been like, that is on a locked Pinterest.
That is under lock and key, Ella. You can't know.
You can't see that.
Hannah also wants to do the tables. Like, she just wants to be so, it's like she wants to plan a wedding, just not her own. Aria then walks in the door and tells Hannah she wasn't going to invite any of them because she was trying to be sensitive about Hannah having to sit next to Caleb and Spencer. I'm like, that's
imagine
new.
We find out that she actually invited Spencer and Caleb
and
is telling Hannah that she didn't invite anybody for that reason.
I thought if you and Emily were there, you guys might be weird and I want them to be happy. So that's like what I'm imagining. So we go to Allie and Rollins on Allie's porch.
This is where I'm like, whoa, this is major character development from Allie because she gets the text that is like, does Rollins know why Cece actually left that night? And instead of lying or hiding the truth, she immediately tells Rollins what happened. And apparently Allie told Cece her volatile sister, who was just let out of intensive care, just told her that she is dating her doctor.
Can I give a theory here?
Yeah.
Okay. My theory, and I have no idea. I haven't seen any spoilers. So I'm imagining I'm spot on, but I didn't see spoilers. But I might be wrong. But my theory here is that Rollins and Cece were, like, in a relationship. And that this is all so that, like, I think he is the one who's trying to figure out who killed Cece because he thought he and Cece were, like, gonna be together. And so he's not genuine with Allie. That's what I think.
But they started dating before.
Who?
You know? Rollins and Allie.
But that doesn't mean that CeCe
was still in care.
No, I think CeCe they started. I think they started dating when CeCe was in care. I think Rollins and CeCe were like doing it.
That's what I mean, though.
While CeCe was in care. That's my theory.
Yes. No, 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 no. But Allie and Rollins started dating before that.
Before CeCe was in care?
No, they. But it's not like they started dating when Allie got out or when CeCe got out.
They
started dating before that.
I know.
So why would he be dating both of them?
Because he thinks that Allie is going to help CeCe get out. Get closer to Allie, get closer to the girls. Look, if I wanted to go down the rabbit hole with this, I could, is all I'm saying. I think this theory has right. legs. And frankly, Phoebe, you're not trustworthy anymore. Okay, you're not trustworthy in this space anymore ever since the whole Mona thing. Okay, the whole
I had to
thing.
Caroline, I had
and,
to.
And that's what you're going to say again in another season when it turns out that I'm right about this. You're going to say, I had to. And I'm going to be like, ugh! Anyway, so yeah, so she explains that she had told CeCe, but I'm also what you're saying about it showing growth for Allie. It's like maybe Allie stayed in fucking Rosewood and went to Hollis and got her teaching degree and was in therapy and like healed instead of Aria running away from it, acting like it never happened. I'm leaving my life behind. I'm starting
all
a
of
new
them,
in Boston.
Frankly.
I know, but I just like want to kind of come down on Aria right now. So I feel like. Aria went and was like, I'm forgetting my past. I'm pretending none of that exists. We're like, they didn't all do that. Hannah and Caleb were still dating. Spencer and Toby, I think, dated a little bit. I don't remember. But it's like, it's not like all of them went and forgot about their friends and forgot about their relationships and everything. Like, I feel like Aria went to Boston and was like, it's a whole new me. Like, I could change my name if I wanted to, but I don't because Aria is the most beautiful name for a woman. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of how I see Aria going. And it's like the difference between Allie and Aria here, that Allie's actually like done the work and healed and Aria is incapable.
Rollins is like, I am not the one to blame for all of the, or he does not say I am not. He says you are not the one to blame.
I was like,
for all
oh,
of
I missed that.
Imagine he's like,
I am not.
Allie and he's like, well, it wasn't my fault. So I guess if you're owning up to it, then sure.
But he actually says it was his fault. He says, I'm the one who failed Charlotte. So Hannah goes back to Lucas's loft. Emily's there. Emily's explaining that she believes Melissa is the killer. And this was actually the craziest thing that happened in the whole episode. Damien video chats Emily. Huh?
And then we see the video chat and you can tell very clearly that it's like a phone or a camera on a tripod
yeah.
because he's not holding anything. He's standing like, there in front like a fucking newscaster.
He's like got two hands free.
And
it's
he's,
like,
yeah, oh. literally. And he's like, hey, it is a madhouse here. I just wanted to make sure you're still coming. That's a text message.
That's a text
And Emily answers
message.
It like it's not weird.
I know.
She goes, hey, Damien. We just needed Hannah to see. We just needed Hannah to see his face.
I guess that is why. Because it's like.
But let's put them walk. Maybe Hannah is going to go walk somewhere and like we.
Or.
Emily and them walk together.
Hannah could walk Emily
there.
She yeah, exactly.
Damien in person.
Exactly. Hannah could walk Emily to the brew. No problem. But no, of course not. So Hannah's like, he looks familiar. And then they move on from that because Emily got a delivery of books because that's what she was actually at Rosewood to do. But she hadn't ordered any. So she opens the box and it's a baby name book and a bookmark that says, you need to start talking before our baby does.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Then we go to the brew and we have the two most insufferable people in the world. It's Caleb and Spencer, if you didn't guess. They're cuddling on the couch in public and listening to a video with no headphones on in a public space. In a shared public space.
Actually diabolical.
Vivi's announcing her diagnosis and like saying she's really fine but is trying to be transparent. And then Hannah walks in and has to see them.
And Hannah is, I think, getting increasingly more bothered by it. Like, the longer that it's going on, she's just like, ugh.
I feel like she maybe was expecting it to, like, once they did something, they would be like, wait,
yeah.
this is weird.
Yeah.
Because.
And
if I'm Spencer, sorry, I'm looking at Caleb. Every time I'm seeing Caleb, I'm seeing Hannah.
Yes.
And vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, even if the feeling, like, even if Caleb's feelings aren't still towards Hannah, Spencer is from that chapter
yeah.
of your life. So I just feel like it would be like.
And I think also it's tough because they're obviously in an adult relationship. So it moves a lot faster than a relationship in high school. So like Hannah has to be back in the place where she had a relationship in high school with Caleb. But watching him showing that like he's in a similar relationship with Spencer. And like for Hannah, I would see this and be like, how do they get to this place so fast? Like they're so serious. They're like living together. They're canoodling like this. It's like they've been together forever. It feels like how me and Caleb were. And it took us so much longer to get there. Does he like her more than me? Like all these things that I would just be like, oh my God, like I didn't expect it to move so fast in front of my eyes and like me have to see this. But Hannah walks up and says she thinks Melissa could have done it because they ran into each other in London. I'm like, I can't believe this is the first we are hearing of this. And I love this for Melissa.
Such a funny scene. We go to a flashback in London and Hannah comes out of the bathroom and she calls Caleb. And this is the night that she met Claudia for the first time. And Melissa walks out of the stall and she is wasted.
Wasted.
At first, and she's been crying. Because at first it's like, wait, does she look like she has black eyes? Is she just getting
I thought the same thing.
She's getting a brawl? But no, she's just drunk. And we find out that Ren left her because she... Did you write any of the quotes down? Well, I was just trying to get everything down.
I didn't get all the quotes, but...
You write what she says about Cece? When she says, who gave that something, something, something phone privileges?
I didn't write down what she says, but she's saying... She shouldn't have had phone privileges. She called Ren and shared info with him. And now he's been looking at me like I should be locked up. And it's about Bethany Young, basically, which Hannah is like, oh, you mean about Bethany? Oh, yeah, we all know. And Melissa's like, aren't you worried about what she's going to use against you? Meaning Cece. And so then Melissa like takes Hannah's phone and calls Cece on it and pretends to be Allison and is like, hi, this is Allison De Laurentiis. Can I talk to my sister Charlotte?
How'd she call so fast?
I don't know. Is Radley on speed dial? Like, and
how do you, well, she wasn't at Radley because Radley was closed. It was some different place. But
and you're in London.
I am like, and how do you know Hannah's passcode?
Good question. Maybe Hannah's I bet Hannah's phone was unlocked. She was taking selfies. Oh, she's on the phone with Caleb. Sorry, Hannah. Sorry that I said that. So then Melissa is like calling whatever. Hannah gets upset, takes the phone, throws it at the window. It breaks the window. And she's like, I don't want to hear her voice. And then Hannah, we're back to reality. Hannah asks Spencer to find out.
Well, Melissa, this is only why earlier when we were talking about Allie and how she's moved on and Aria specifically hasn't. I guess Hannah was on the brain and that like, Hannah is also in that mindset of she wants to say that she has moved on, but she hasn't. And this scene shows that. Like, she's saying she's moved on and she's, like, got this completely different life now, but, like, she actually hasn't confronted
it. Yeah, she's still very
and
bothered.
Melissa says that. And she says someone needs to shut her up for good.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't write that down either. Anyway. So Hannah's like, Spencer, you need to find out if Melissa called the De Laurentiis dungeon that night from the Two Crows restaurant. And then she asks about the reporter guy as well. And then we go to the reporter guy named Damien walking with Emily. They're going to get a coffee before heading across the street. And at that moment, like Damien goes in, Hannah texts Emily, Damien's a reporter, lose him. And then Damien comes out to ask how she likes her coffee.
Wait. That full text is so funny. She goes, he's playing you. Did the same with Spencer and Melissa. Sorry, he's playing you, period.
Did the same
with Spencer and Melissa. Lose him.
Lose him? I love lose him. Hilarious. So he comes
I
out.
I love when Hannah and Emily get into these moods where they are like, no pleasantries. Well, like, even Hannah walking into the brew and being like, okay, so I am also like team Melissa probably could have done this.
Yeah. It is so funny how like, I feel like Spencer and Aria can get so wrapped up in like their own shit and their own like, well, this is what I think, so it has to be right. So now I'm so dead set on just proving that I'm right rather than uncovering what the truth is. You know what I mean? Whereas like Hannah and Emily, when Spencer and Aria get to that point, Hannah and Emily are like, okay, we'll take over from here. We'll actually find out what happened and they'll have to get on board at some point.
Unless Emily is the one deciding what she thinks has happened. Cause she can be like with the Sarah stuff. She's still basically the only liar that I think is really like thinking it's Sarah doing all of this.
Yeah, she just wants it
because she's the one constantly bringing it up.
Yeah. So Emily says does the opposite of what Hannah told her to do. Hannah said lose him, and Emily says, "Well, instead of coffee, how about we go to dinner?" So they're gonna have dinner.
Then we go to the Radley and Liam meets Z at the bar.
Wow.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Z?
And Ezra is basically like, hey, so I read the chapters and I just want to get out ahead of this. And I just want you to know, like, if you read my chapters, like, I'm not writing about Arya. Like, I'm not.
Arya this and is about me, some, this which is, I thought was
this is
kind
about
of
someone
funny.
Who, this is about someone who I traveled the world with. And me and Arya, we didn't get much farther than Philly. So, like, don't worry.
Yeah.
This is not about me and Arya and how we dated for a really long time. And we were kind of, like, in love with each other. And I was, like, her first
and
love.
It was also really
and,
inappropriate.
Like,
I was her teacher. What if Liam's like, oh, and so Liam you weren't like, her teacher? And I was like, well, no, I was her teacher.
Liam is like, wait.
What? So then Arya walks up and is like, and I'm out of here. She literally walks up and it's like she's gonna spin on her heels and walk right back out. And Liam is gonna leave them alone. And Liam, like, Arya chases
so
him
annoyed.
Out. And Liam's like, look, I know now. He told me what happened. And so
he was more than your favorite teacher.
Woof. Well, she's like, well, he was my favorite teacher. And I had sex with him. which I'll just say a lot of girls were jealous about. Okay, I'm not that crazy.
We go, then Arya, like, is at home now in her PJs, calling Liam over and over again. And she says, call me back when you get this, unless it's after 5 tomorrow, because I'll be marrying my parents.
Right. And my phone won't be on Do Not Disturb. So Ella is pretty nervous, and she tells Hannah that when Byron walks in the room, quote, it's like I'm 19 again.
Huh. Aww. Caroline hates
I
it.
I hate it because Byron is a gross piece of shit. That's why I hate okay. it.
That's fine.
And Hannah says, well, people who are meant to be together take a break and find a way back to their first love. So true. Well, Anthony wasn't my first love, but we did.
She starts saying that, like, almost like it's about Caleb. And then we find out that Byron wasn't Ella's first love.
No.
And then she, like, starts describing who her first love really was. And it is giving Caleb.
Yes.
Like, a bad boy who, like, was a little bit, like, different.
On the wrong
and
side of the
it's
tracks.
Like Hannah's. It's almost like that's the confirmation Hannah needed. Yeah. That, like, Jordan's not here. She's in the place where she fell in love with Caleb. She's having to see Caleb. Yeah. So I feel like it's getting.
Well, and it's also like.
It's easy for her to be like, maybe we would end up back together. Yeah.
Because also, if she was excited to marry Jordan or was still thinking that she was going to be, I would think that all this wedding talk and planning would get her really excited about hers, you know? Which we do see a little bit at the end of the episode. But it's like, you would think that in these moments where they're talking about love and the wedding and I'm hemming the dress and all these things, that Hannah would start getting excited to plan her own. Or also when Jordan calls her in the middle of this conversation, that she would pick it up, you know, because she's excited yeah. to marry him. But no, she continues to ignore his calls. So Allie is sitting outside. Where are we? The Brew, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. We're outside. And Allie is replying to the message that she got from this diva A saying, Sarah, is that you? And Rollins
as
shows
if
up
she's
behind
like
her.
Calling out to someone.
I know.
Sarah?
Okay, but this is also you? Why I have a really creepy vibe, because the music changes. Rollins like comes up behind Allie when she's sending this as like a very ominous vibe, okay, with this scene. And then he's like, I want to marry you. Can we marry? Can we get married?
Which is like, okay, last week you kind of had the ick.
You had the ick for her.
You were like,
back off me a little bit, Allie. And now you're like,
I don't want to take you to the movies and I don't want to take you to a restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, is there any way you can look at me and not see your sister? And she says, I don't know which one of them says it. I'm here, I'm alive, and I love you, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And she's like, wait, what are you saying? I'm like, okay, well, he's not proposing to you right now, Allie. You'll know. Hey, you'll know.
He is.
That's crazy, though. It's just crazy.
We go to the Hastings Castle and Spencer comes in, and you know Melissa is just like, fuck yeah. For what? Like, we get to say Spencer did something wrong.
She's like, so great news. And I mean, bad news.
Spencer and Melissa start smiling when Melissa's she hears
like,
it from Vivi.
She's like, cover her mouth.
Sorry, this is terrible.
Yeah, this is so bad. I laugh when I'm sad.
We found out that a story came out while Vivi was doing her announcement that Yvonne had an abortion in high school. And this is like particularly tough news because they're running on a pro-life platform, which I find we're getting more and more politics revealed.
I know,
because
thank God.
I guess that means VV's not running how we thought, but that still doesn't make sense with what Spencer said earlier.
Wait, why? Why does that not make sense?
Like,
what we
like
thought?
Episodes and episodes
I thought we
ago
thought
when Spencer was
they
like,
were blue.
We think Spencer is, but
yeah.
Spencer says that their politics are different at the when she first gets back to Rosewood.
Whose politics?
She and Vivi.
Oh. Maybe her mom's just like more like fiscally conservative or something. Because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, this is pretty clear, right? That they're blue.
It is now, but it hasn't been up because we've
it hasn't
made
been,
that.
Yeah.
We were like,
it has not been clear. But now it is. And I'm like, well, maybe you guys, maybe I love stories like this. It's like, hey, if you're pro-life, but not when you need to get an abortion, then you're not pro-life. Just letting you know, yeah. You're not pro-life. If the only time that you make a decision that's pro-choice is when it applies to you, you are not more special than everybody else. If you think you really needed that abortion, imagine the other women in the world who might need one. Just saying. So like, maybe don't be so fucking selfish with your politics and say you're pro-life if you're really not. Thanks, Yvonne.
Well, let's not put it on Yvonne.
I'm putting it on Yvonne.
This is the... Why?
Because she's an adult.
We like Yvonne.
She's an adult.
She wasn't when this happened.
Okay, but now she is, and now she's pro-life.
Well, we don't know that about her.
Why is she helping out with her mom's
campaign? We know
campaign?
That about her mom. Because it's her mom, the same reason Spencer's helping her mom.
Hmm. I think it would be hard to help out your mom if you had an abortion and you were pro-choice and one of your mom's main things was being pro-life, which it seems like it's a
I think
pretty
it would
thing.
Be, but I think we can... We don't have
hey,
to
hey, by
like
the way,
Yvonne
is not a real person. So I can actually say whatever I want about Yvonne.
I know you can. So can I.
I don't know why you're defending her so much.
I don't like her.
Why are you defending her so? Why are you pushing this? What's going on?
Whatever.
Tell me. I want to know. What does Yvonne do that I should know about that's good?
Nothing. I don't think this story is supposed to paint Yvonne like a bad person.
No, I don't think it is either. I just tacked Yvonne onto my spiel, which was about anybody who can relate. That's who my spiel was about.
Yeah.
But Yvonne happens to be the person in the story who this story is ascribed to. So I ended it with her name because she
yes.
is the person who's doing this.
But the real issue with this is that the leak came out of the Hastings camp somehow. I don't know how they know that, but they know that it came from them. And they are like,
well, no, I don't think it,
Vivi.
I don't think it for sure came from them. I think they're just like, it obviously looks like who else would do that? Like it was like during, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's not confirmed though that it's from them. Is it? I think it was just like,
I don't know. I thought it was, but
because Melissa asks Spencer, do you know who would have put that out there? Like,
well, I think I read that as who on our team would have done that because I think they've already made up their mind that somehow this because they are like, how did you know about the cancer thing? Like they
yeah.
are already, I think, thinking that it was Spencer.
Okay.
We go to the Two Crows Diner and Emily's on the phone and she found out from Damien that Melissa was definitely back earlier than she said she did or something. Whatever she's saying on the phone, I don't really know if it matters that much.
I also
but she got
didn't,
some information from Damien.
I like did not realize this was Two Crows at all.
Well, it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
It just says diner.
It's like a it's giving Lost Woods Resort. Like it's so dilapidated old diner in the middle of the woods in the dark. Emily, where's your car? Emily, where?
That's a big
I'm
question.
Always like, "Hey, Em, how'd you get here alone with no car? Like why
and
why?"
And did we have to do this? Did we have to do this in the middle of the night?
Could you have waited for one of your friends to come with you? Like I just
could we have done this in the day?
Literally. Like, there's so many questions I have.
And she's also shocked. This is one of my favorite things that the girls do. She is like trying to get into the diner.
It's
and she's
obviously
like, it looks
closed.
It looks closed or like closed down. And then she goes to open the door and she looks surprised and annoyed.
She's like, it's regular business hours for a diner. Hello. And she's banging on the doors. It's like, girl.
she opens the door. She like opens the door and she's like, she starts saying hello. Someone let me in.
She like looks them up on Yelp. She's like, it says you guys are open. It says you're open. If you want to have a really successful business, you should really be true to your hours online or change them. It's a bad look. So then a car starts like speeding towards Emily, almost hits her. Then the car comes back.
This is giving how it sounded when Maddie would come pick me up for school and high school. Oh my God.
Like, it was, I can hear the Suburban when Zoe's coming for her lessons. I can hear it coming up the street. I could
be up in the bathroom, like, washing my face or, like, making my coffee, and I'd be like, all right.
Yes.
I can hear the car turn on from two streets over.
Literally, me too.
In the way that Maddie drives, all love to Maddie, but she... She's a real road warrior in a way that our mom isn't. Like, she is fighting in those streets going so fast. I remember driving to school with her and being like, we are lucky if we get here in one piece or on time.
I hope Maddie hears
I would
this.
Literally, my favorite thing is, like, Maddie, like, we don't have to carpool if you don't think that we can get to school. Like, I have to be at school at 7:30. And she's like, okay, well, I'm in student council too. And I'm like, okay, I know that. But the thing is that you notoriously show up to student council meetings 15 minutes late.
Yeah, I can't do that because I'm kind of in charge. I'm kind of running the show. Anyway, so this car, is speeding towards Emily. It's like, it is actually the loudest car on planet Earth. You're 100% right with where you're going with this. And then Emily starts banging on the doors again. It's like, girl, they didn't want to open when you just wanted a hash brown. What makes you think they're going to open it now when, like, you're
she
asking
like kind
for
of
help?
Sees a light in the kitchen, I guess, that she thinks this is a person. But
and since
I
when do we trust people?
Cars.
Hey, since when do we trust people, Em? If there was a person in this diner, I wouldn't be trusting them.
If you hadn't spent the amount of time that you did trying to get in there, you might be back at your car.
Literally.
That I hope is there.
So while this is happening, we go to the wedding. Aria is officiating it. It's fine. They kiss. And when they break, Liam is standing right in between them. And I'm like, if I'm Aria, I'm like, move. Like, oh my God, get out.
Like, where's the photographer?
Why are you standing at the end of the aisle? Oh my God, this is the biggest moment of the ceremony.
Hannah's also watching it and, like, listening to what Arya's saying about love and about her parents and is feeling, like,
maybe
wistful,
she loves someone
a bit
too.
Wistfully.
Yeah.
We go back to the diner and there is no service. And this bus is still doing whatever it's this truck, whatever the hell it is still doing whatever. Maddie's still doing whatever she's doing. And Emily decides to climb up onto a shipping crate.
Well, not yet. First, she's just running. And she trips and falls, and the car runs over her phone and shatters it. And then she finds a ladder and climbs to the top of this place and finds the murder weapon for
I'm
CC's
a little bit
murder.
Like, okay, now you're trapped. Now you're trapped up
well,
there.
Well, I thought that
bit.
Too until she got down. I was like, stay up there.
I was also like, wait, low key, that's a genius place to hide the murder weapon.
Yeah, no one's ever going to look there.
Whoever is going to find that.
Except that there is a ladder up there, which I'm like, you should have just thrown it on a roof where there was no access.
Yeah, and I guess also, like, it's not like it's a random diner.
Yeah.
It's a diner that is implicated in the murder.
Yeah, true. And so we believe that this person... Well, so, okay, so she climbs the ladder. She's up there. I was like, you just stay up there. But, of course, she doesn't do that. She comes back down in the car, comes to get her again. The car is going to, like, pin her between the diner and the car and, like, kill her. And she climbs back up the ladder. But she does drop the murder weapon. And the person, whoever's driving, gets out of the car, which Emily conveniently doesn't see. And they take the murder weapon and drive away. I was just like, okay, this is annoying. Hey, Em, I know this is probably scary for you. But it's annoying for me. You know?
Very much. Very much. And we... go back to the barn and Vivi comes in and she is furious. She's a woman on fire. And she says, all right, they hired the best of the best and found out that this came from Spencer's IP address.
Oh my God.
And Spencer's like, Mom, no.
Mom, I did.
And Caleb's like, I did it, which isn't true.
Which is, I'm sorry. If I'm Spencer,
Caleb,
I'm like,
that's career ruining.
We're over. Are you insane just
because
for saying
someone
that?
Someone I love would never do that.
Like, and also, like, I don't care if you did it or didn't do it at this point. The fact that you even said this is, like, insane. Like, why would you tell my mom you did that if you did or didn't?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Especially because, like, you want to keep dating now and my mom is going to think that you did this.
Oh, my God. So Vivi's like, okay, well, bye.
You're off the campaign and I think you should probably move out. And I'm like, okay, he should have moved out when they started dating.
100%. Frankly. Not a probe. So Lily and Aria are talking about the wedding afterwards. They're catching up. He's asking about what they're going to do for their honeymoon. And Aria says, well, Ella had a Groupon for Atlantic City. Just kidding. But they are going to a dumpy hotel in Jersey where they spent a wild weekend in college. And so Lily and Aria are just reconciling. And he asks, why didn't you tell me about Ezra? And she says that, like, her writing the book gave her a chance to work it all out, and now it is worked out. And he asks how it ended.
So you were writing about us.
Yeah, so confirmed the book's okay, got it. Like, Arya, are you dense? In what world are you, like, writing a book about your ex-boyfriend, who, by the way, this is supposed to be his book, and then you hand it to your current boyfriend? I'm just like, what did you think was going to happen here? You fucking dumbass. Sorry. Like, it's so stupid.
And then it kind of is giving, it's kind of giving that she's about to, like, break up with him.
Yeah.
And honestly, it looks like he's anticipating that, because he's like, so what have you, like, figured out?
So how did it end? And she says.
And then she kisses him.
She says, I didn't know until right now. And then, yeah, she kisses him. So Hannah is cleaning up in Lucas's loft, and she finds a wedding veil I guess she had put aside for Ella, and tries it on, and she looks so beautiful as a little bride. And in that moment, she calls Jordan back and says she picked a date for their wedding, May 17th.
She gives summer wedding for sure.
Big time.
Are the lights going off?
Yeah, I don't know what. The power did just flicker, though.
Sick. We go to the barn, and Spencer's like, no,
you know,
you're not leaving.
You're not leaving. And I won't
let
you.
Okay, there's a hotel.
I know. There's a hotel. He can just go stay with Hannah. How about he just goes and stays in Lucas's loft? They're having a huge Rosewood sleepover over there.
It's like, this is not a breakup. No. This doesn't have to be like this big. Spencer, chill out. And the thing that you should be yelling at him about is what he just did.
Exactly.
Not the fact that your mom is kicking
and
him out.
And he goes, listen, this is the truth she needs to win. She needs a scapegoat, and it can't be you.
Emily comes back, and she is like,
she looks like Melissa looked in London in the bathroom.
Emily is fucking, they are making Shay Mitchell do like fucking like.
Phoebe, this, I mean, I
feel like she probably.
I was.
Emily is going. It's because Emily doesn't have a partner, I feel like. Yeah. They're like having Emily go off and do like whatever else they need to, like,
I thought for sure this car was gonna hit her. I was like, that car is going to hit her, or it's going to pin her leg or some shit, and she's gonna have a whole other hospital storyline. Like, they can't keep her out of that hospital. She is
no
little miss medical
she
drama.
Comes back, they're like, her hair looks like Blake Lively's hair, like twigs in her hair, and she is, her mascara is running. I guess she walked back here. She said that she couldn't get into her car. I don't really understand.
Okay, so you did have, okay, got it. So you had a car. Okay. Anyway.
And then Hannah looks at her phone and goes, what is that? And Emily goes, what's left of my phone?
I'm like, girl, you should have just left it. You just leave that there.
It is so fucking funny.
It's hilarious.
And she basically wants to get to the idea that the person that did this to her couldn't have been Sarah, because she wants the murder solved. And whoever is, it can't be Sarah, and it can't be whoever A is, because
right,
they want the murder to be solved.
Right. This person.
And the person that was doing this does not want the murder
they
solved.
They want to cover
and
it
wants
up
to conceal,
yes,
everything.
So she's like, there are definitely.
And now they're like, okay, well, there are definitely two people. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. So Lily and Arya are just hanging out at the house, and someone knocks on the door, and it's like a very bizarre knock. It's Allie and Rollins, and they want to get married tonight. And they want Arya to marry them because she's a minister, apparently. Just kidding. She's officiate. She can officiate, though. And they say, your twinkle lights are still on in your backyard. Please marry us. We know you have your prom dress that was practically made for twinkle lights. Put it on and let's go.
And so I guess they're going to do that. We get our A scene, and it's just a bunch of like the Scooby-Doo disguises and a universal remote. Like,
yeah,
instruction book and a piece of wedding cake.
Yes. So it seems they were at Ella and Byron's wedding. One thing is, Allie, I'm like, I don't want you to get married, because I really feel like you're getting married so that you can't testify against Rollins. Like, I don't think she knows that. But I feel like that's what's happening. It's making me nerve. Okay. Read the synopsis for next week.
Season 6, episode 18, Burn This. After the stalker nearly killed Emily, the liars take the threats seriously and attempt to keep their mouths shut. There is more, but I didn't realize that when I took this picture and I didn't click on it. But that feels like a good place to end.
Wow. All right. Shut. Nothing if not thorough. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember, this week we've got our second Pretty Little Punch Bowl on the Patreon for tiers 2 and 3. So definitely tune into that. It's going to be a fun one. Check it out. And make sure you listen to our Tuesday episode as well, talking about everything pop culture. We love you guys so much. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. And splat.
And splat.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.